Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We are here on a very special day. We call it the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. January has been designated by pro-life people as Life Month, and the Sunday closest to the 23rd has always been traditionally where we celebrated the Sanctity of Human Life on Sunday. This year, we're a little ahead of that. That's on January the 23rd. But we're here to hold high the value of life because God does. Would you join me in beginning in the name of the God who we are here to worship, the God who put his name on us in baptism? We make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty God, as we come into your presence, we're confident of your promise. Where two or three gather in your name, you are there in the midst of us. We know that you are here to love and bless us. Help us to humbly extend ourselves to you in your presence. Speak to us in your word, change our lives, and may all that we do and say during this time bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's join in singing In Christ Alone.
All other ground is sinking sand. mountain high, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of power of Christ I'll return for his own. Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
And that's exactly what we do. We turn our eyes to Jesus. As we make our confession of sin this morning, I've chosen different scriptures that relate to life issues, our relationship with God, and the life He's given us, His standards. And then we have the opportunity together to say, Lord, forgive us when we have fallen short. Would you rise and share with me that confession of sin and our assurance of forgiveness? It's printed for you in the bulletin and it will also be on the screen. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Almighty God, we humbly confess that we have forgotten you and your role in our lives, and we have lived as if you didn't matter. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. Before I formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And in Jeremiah's case, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We have failed to recognize that we were chosen by you before our birth to be your disciples and your disciple makers in word and action. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We have also failed to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and have failed to help them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We have followed our own desires and have not lived according to your design for us. Please forgive us for the sake of Jesus, who died and rose again for our forgiveness. God says, listen to me. You who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb even to your old age, I am He. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum. I'm one of your elders in training today. My wife, I better back up, my lovely wife and I have been members since 1984. I have two readings for today. The first scripture reading, Old Testament, Psalms 139, 13 to 16, and 23 to 24. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Second scripture reading, the Gospel, John 15, 12 through 17. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my commandment, love each other. Now we have the children's message.
Okay, children, come on down. We got any children? Got a few. Oh, here comes one. Come on down. There we go. You want to come up here? Come on up, come up here. Come up a little closer. There we go. All right. Good morning. How are you all this morning? Did you know that you are very special? Did you know that? You're very special to God, but you're also very special to your parents and others that love you. But do you know how special you are to God? God made you just the way you are. And he made you because you're special to him. Now, I'm going to show a picture up on the screen. See that circle up there? Now, this is probably going to be deeper than this group, but that group out there will get it. That's the first day of life. That's what you look like the first day God gave you life in your mommy's tummy. Did you know that? You just look like a little circle like that. And then you started to grow. And as you grew, when you were 12 weeks old in your mommy's tummy, you were this big. Did you know that? That's how big you were at one time before you were born in your mommy's tummy. Now, were you special even back then? Absolutely, you were. The next picture shows you what you looked like sort of in your mama's tummy. Can you see the nose and the eyes? Now, did you know that from the day, that first day where you were that little circle, God made it so that he knew exactly what color your eyes would be, what color your hair would be, how big you would be, how smart you would be, how fast you could run? He knew all of that while you were still in your mommy's tummy. 12 weeks, just this big. 20 weeks, looking like that. Now, I have a question for you. If you wanted to really be rich, would you gather money and jewels? Is that the kind of thing you would do if you were rich in the world?
Yeah.
Money and jewels? Well, I want to show you another picture. I want to ask you, which is more important? The world's largest diamond or a baby in its mother's womb? Which is more important?
Baby.
The baby. That's right. And I hope you never forget that. You are so special to God. He made you just the way you are. You've grown up to this size, and you're going to grow bigger like your moms and dads. But above all, he loves you, and he created you in a very special way, and his love sent Jesus to the cross to die for you. So I want you to never forget, even though those two weigh the same thing, which is more valuable? the baby in the womb. And if you keep growing and believing that, you have a great opportunity to witness that to our world. Can you remember that? You are special, and God started you on day one, and he's raised you to this size now, and you're going to get even bigger because he chose you and he loves you. Would you pray with me about that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life that you've given to each one of us. Help us to know how special we are. Help us also to be those who speak for the value of a baby in the womb more than anything the world can give us. And I thank you above all for sending Jesus to be our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. And we have a little worship, so anyone going for a little worship, right down that middle aisle there. Okay? Got one looking for, there we go. The next song is a life song. It's called Lord of Life. Let's sing that song as we prepare for our sermon message this morning.
Show the world we can.
while we let the music team kind of get situated, get your Bibles out and be ready to look with me at what God says about how precious life is. This is a topic that is not always very popular. Let me tell you a couple of things about Christians in relation to life issues. Studies show that only 1 in 10 Christian pastors ever speaks about life issues in a given year. 1 in 10. When people in congregations, Christian congregations, and they checked all denominations, are asked, should abortion be legal in all or most cases? 46% in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod say yes. Almost half. Women who have had an abortion say their churches don't even know it, and therefore the church is not able to give the help and support that at least some of them critically need. Many people will say abortion is a political issue. It's a social issue. We shouldn't be talking about it in church. Well, I pray today that as we share God's word together, we will see that that's really not true. That life issues are moral issues that God talks about. And we have to deal with them from his perspective and not the world's perspective. The world does everything it can to make abortion look what it really isn't. They don't refer to the baby in the womb, they refer it to as a fetus. They don't talk about being pro-abortion, they talk about being pro-choice. But in essence, the reality is a baby in the womb is a living yet unborn human being, and to end the life of that baby preborn is just as wrong as killing someone outside of the womb. We need to humbly approach that subject. That's why I chose the first scripture to share with you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, to 33. This is what the Apostle Paul says. If you have your Bibles, the page is on the screen for you. But God says through the Apostle Paul to us, "For consider your calling, brothers, your calling to be his. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God, boast of their own powers. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Humanly speaking, Christians aren't necessarily the most powerful people in the world. Many times we are very common, ordinary people. Our boasting is not in how smart we are, even though that's what the world likes to say, how smart they are. Our boasting is in the Lord. And so as we approach this topic, there are so many other ideas out there about it, we approach it humbly and we say, "Lord, We don't want to boast in what we know about this topic. We don't want to boast in how we have been informed about it. We want to know what you have to say about it. So that as we take a stand, our boasting is not in what we know or what we do, but in what the Lord has done for us. The source of our life is in Christ Jesus. A couple of these passages we've already looked at, but let's look at them one more time and just see where God started with each one of us. The Jeremiah passage is the one we first want to look at. We read it earlier. But in Jeremiah, this is how he acknowledged his call from God to be a prophet, a spokesman for God. That's what the word prophet means, to speak for God. We could probably say that we're all who are called as Christians to follow Jesus, prophets. Not in the sense that we often use the term of foretelling the future, but in the sense of being spokesmen for the Lord. That's who we are. This is what happened when Jeremiah talked about his call. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He didn't even start at the formation, at that first day that we saw on the screen. He started before that. "Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were even in the womb. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." God has a plan for us. We are called on purpose. We are called to be His, and we are called to be spokesmen for Him in our world. When studies like I referred to earlier are done, we find out that some Christians really don't acknowledge that their source of truth is what God says, not what they think or what the world says. What does God say? And then Jesus, in John 15, 16, in relation to being called as His children, in John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, that your fruit should last. I called you on purpose. I called you for a purpose so that what you do in the world will have eternal significance." Wow. That's what God wants of me. He wants me to be living a life that will produce fruit that has eternal significance. God woke me up this morning at 4 o'clock. And as I lay in bed, I couldn't get back to sleep. I thought to myself, I have an opportunity this morning to bear fruit that has eternal significance. I've been a pastor for a long time, and I'm not sure it hit me like it did this morning. But all of us are chosen by God to have influence in our world that has eternal significance. Oh yeah, I do all kinds of other things that don't have eternal significance. I watch a lot of sports. No eternal significance in that, I'll guarantee you. I love sports. I love to play golf. No eternal significance in any of that. But you and I, in addition to all the things we enjoy, have an opportunity to make an eternal difference in our world and in the lives of the people around us. Why is the life issue so important? We probably could cite various things, but I really believe one of the things that speaks to the value of life is the glory of God that's revealed in human life. When I was a sophomore in high school, 1958, all of my teachers taught my mother. And Miss Shook was my biology teacher. I remember, and I probably wasn't the greatest student in the world. I got by, you know. None of you ever did that, but I did. But I remember that biology class. I remember the intricacies of the human body. The glory of God revealed in our human bodies. When I would teach about the wonder of God's creation, one of the illustrations I always used was something that I remembered, and I didn't remember everything. But there's three little bones in your ear. Incus, malleus, and stapes. How about that? Hammer, anvil, and stirrup. We probably know them more specifically by that. Those three little bones have to have to be operated on with a microscope. They are so small, but they are what transfer what we hear to our brains. Think about that. And I thought I'd heard it all. Until in preparation for this message this morning, I was introduced to a tape on YouTube about a molecular biologist who said, if you really want to know about the human body, look up laminin. I didn't even know how to spell laminin. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Laminin. Laminin is what holds the whole body together. Laminin is a protein molecule that tells all the cells in our body what to do. It's kind of like the rebar in cement. It holds all of the tissue together and makes them function like they're supposed to function. That's a pretty important part of our wonderful body that brings out the glory of God. But laminin, let me show you the scientific model of laminin. On the screen. How about that? Laminin, which holds the whole body together, is shaped like the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at it under a microscope, this is what you see. I don't think that's coincidence. I don't think that's chance. I believe it's another way God shows us His glory in our human bodies. And all of that, laminin and all of the other characteristics of the body are there fully day one in our mother's womb. Should we value life? Absolutely. Has life been devalued in our world? Absolutely. the number one cause of death in the last couple of years in the world is abortion. The number one cause of death, not COVID, but abortion. Now it's getting better. And it might be helpful just for a moment to give you a little bit of history about abortion, just so you know. Now you might want to jot some of this down. I was blown away as I got deeper into this. Abortion came out of the 1960s, which was called the decade of the sexual revolution, when sex became kind of commonplace. You know, some of you remember those days. I was in high school. Colorado was the first state that allowed abortions. And the first pregnancy center for pro-life was founded in 1968 in Canada. In 1973, Roe v. Wade was approved by the Supreme Court. And basically, now you get a lot of spin on this, but basically what that did was permit abortion at any stage in pregnancy, and it set aside all the other laws that protected life of the living yet unborn child. That's what Roe v. Wade did in 1973. In the 1970s, the Catholic Church was the first one to speak up for life. And then it kind of unfolded from there, and some of you may remember the name Francis Schaeffer. Anybody remember that name? He wrote a book, What Happened to the Human Race? And with that book, and also the Surgeon General for Ronald Reagan, Dr. Everett Koop, they began to motivate non-Catholic Christians to be pro-life. That's where that all started, just as a little historical reference. In 1980s, those were the big marches for life. Millions of people would go to Washington, D.C. and march for life. We still do that today, but that's when that all began. In 1996, there were 2,400 abortion clinics in operation. In 1990, there had been 1.6 million abortion clinics. It started to decline. And it declined from there. Went down 30% in the last 30 years. Right now, good news. Pregnancy clinics outnumber abortion clinics 4-1. And it's getting better all the time. Missouri is the first state in the union that does not have a clinic in the state that does abortions. Now, they still have clinics that promote abortion, but they have to refer them to another state because our state legislature has put restrictions on how clinics have to operate if they're going to approach or perform abortions. You know what Planned Parenthood is doing? It's now establishing clinics on the borders of Missouri in all the states surrounding us, so that women who want abortions in Missouri can be referred to another state. New state laws are trying to limit abortion. To me, an interesting fact is that the movement towards more elevation of the sanctity of human life is not based on what God says as much as what science is discovering. The viability of a baby in the womb. When does life really begin? And there are states now that are picking up that element and trying to limit abortions to before the baby's heartbeat can be detected and things like that. And there is right now a case before the Supreme Court that they say they will have ruling on by June. I don't know why it takes that long. By June. And this may be a real change of the whole abortion issue in our country. Many believe it might get kicked back to the states. Missouri, I'm chairman of what's called the Alliance for Life in Missouri, and our Missouri legislature puts hundreds of thousands of dollars in its budget every year that they call A2A funds, alternative to abortion funds, that they distribute to pro-life clinics in the state of Missouri. We are blessed to have political leadership in this state that are more pro-life, and the majority are. That's a little bit of what we're dealing with and how we've gotten to where we are today. So what's that mean for us? My prayer is that you can see the importance of the sanctity of human life because God holds it high. Number one, sure, science and medical technology has given us information about the beginning of life and life in the womb, and that's certainly important, and it's a factor in the picture. But why are we pro-life as God's people? Because He is. I want to give you three things that we can do to promote life in this world. What's my role in life issues? Number one, be the church. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15 say, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. What is it? A pillar and buttress of truth. Be the church. Live by the truth. Y'all know about Jefferson Bible? The Jefferson Bible, Thomas Jefferson, supposedly, and I'm taking this from what I've read historically, I wasn't back there with Thomas Jefferson, although I may look that old. Thomas Jefferson went through the Bible and took out all the passages he didn't like. I think we're doing that today. And in the church, we have to remember that we are the foundation and buttress for the truth. And what God says has to determine what we do. Secondly, we have to balance grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. The term word is another name for Jesus. In verse 14, John says, and the word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace is undeserved love. Grace needs to be extended to those who have had an abortion, to those who are struggling with life issues, undeserved love, because that's what God gives to us. But we can never disassociate that from the truth. We still have to deal with what God says is the truth. So we must share grace, forgiveness. Jesus paid for it on the cross. People who have been caught up in the world and its approach to abortion, people who have been caught up in the world thinking that ending the life of a living yet unborn infant is okay and a legitimate choice, we need to extend to them the undeserved love of God in Jesus for their forgiveness. But never say that killing a living yet unborn infant is okay. That's not the truth. And finally, we need to support ministries that are pro-life. Pro-life clinics and places where that ministry is being exercised. My wife Jan and I served on the board of Options Pregnancy Clinic in Branson, Missouri. Options Pregnancy Clinic is one of the pro-life clinics that are under the umbrella of the Alliance for Life. We have many of them in the state of Missouri. And interestingly, if you want to be a part of the Alliance for Life as a pro-life clinic, your mission statement has to state that you not only are supporting life issues, but you are also sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a state organization. And there are pro-life groups in Missouri who do uphold the sanctity of human life, but they do not have in their mission statement that they also share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace he shows there. So they can't be part of the Alliance for Life. Here's what Proverbs says about the ministry of what we would call pro-life organizations and ministries. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over you, your soul, know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? That's the ministry of pro-life clinics and organizations that promote life. Be the church, balance grace and truth, and support those who carry out ministries to women and men struggling with problem pregnancies, knowing that the only answer is that answer that comes from God and his love for us in Jesus Christ. When I preach on life issues like this, I've seen people get up and walk out. Didn't see that this morning. Because they don't want to deal with the issue. They want to deal with what the world says instead of what God says. God's love is bigger than any sin we ever commit, even the sin of abortion. His grace is free for all of us. And we want to be bound by his truth. This morning in Bible class, we're going to look further into what the Bible says about life issues, so I invite you to stay for that. And my prayer is that all of us, motivated by God and his love, will be pro-life. Would you pray with me about that? Almighty God, life is precious. You created. that created life, born in sin, so precious to you that you sent your son Jesus to die, to take away the sin of our birth and the sins we have committed in our lives. Touch us with your love this morning. Heal those who are struggling with having dealt with life issues according to the world instead of your truth. And forgive. And then enable us to be spokesmen for life in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to invite you to share with me the words of the explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Remember, the first article is, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Martin Luther kind of took that to a more practical application way in what we call his explanation to the article. Let's use that this morning to remember the value of life. Let's rise as we share that confession. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. I'm going to invite Pastor Bob to come up. He has a special presentation for us, and then we'll move into our prayer time.
Good morning, my dear friends. It is great to see you all here this morning, another beautiful day. And today I have a special presentation, as Pastor Dar just said. I'm going to call forward somebody who truly does not want to be called forward. All right, Sean, could you come up? You guys know Sean, I'm sure, if you've been around St. Mark's at all. Sean has been my right hand for years now. I don't even know how many years. How many years? 5 years. Yeah, it's basically, she's been here for most of the time that I've been pastor alone here. I don't know how long that is either, so just so you understand how this works. I would have a lot more information, details and such, except that my secretary's not here anymore. Sean is an absolutely amazing blessing. We have been blessed to have her here for so long, but now she is taking a job someplace else. And I really am really pleased for her because this is a really good move in a great direction. She's going to a good place, and she's also not leaving us. She's just not going to be working here anymore, which is another really good thing. But Sean, your heart here, your organization, your attention to detail, your intelligence, your taking the initiative, your just being there and doing whatever it takes to do the ministry that needed to be done here so that the team of St. Mark's was able to function in a better way. You've done a lot, and it's just such a blessing to have had you here and have you be a part of our staff. And I just pray, and we want to pray for you as you head into the future. And then I've got a few things that I want to give you. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for Sean, Lord, and Dave, and Abby, and the other one. Shelby, thank you. I need my secretary to feed me details. Lord, I thank you that you have just continued to bless her and bless us with her. I pray that you would be with her as she moves to the next place in life, that she is going to be able to, that you would just bless her work, bless her in the eyes of her employers, Lord, that she would be continued to have opportunities to increase in her responsibility and be able to be all that you have created her to be. Thank you, Lord, for all this and the blessing of having her among us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, here's a few things. First of all, Sean loves animals. This is something that you need to know. She has horses and dogs and who knows what else, all kinds of animals. And so one of the things is that some of the staff has made donations to the Lutheran Church as Canine Comfort Dog Ministry on your behalf because we know you love those animals. Another thing that Sean really loves is Coke. Not the drug kind, the soda kind. Come on. Anyway, so the thing is that what we did, and see, today is the Life Sunday, and so we already had snacks in the back, so we couldn't really add to that much. And so what we have done is we've made some soda available in the back so that you can have Coke in memory and in honor of our dear Sean. So here's this. Very good. I'm going to load you up now. All right, very good. And then, as is our custom, those who are significant in serving us and for a long time in ministry here at St. Mark's, we give them some sort of little engraved token, I'll call it. And so this is for you as well, so that you can have that and remember your time here on our team. All right. I'm going to miss her. And the thing is that the way life goes is that she just recovered from COVID. So she missed her last week of work at St. Mark's, which is why we're so disorganized today. It's just how that goes. So God's blessings on your future, Sean. And thank you for being here.
Those behind the scenes people are really important and critical. In our prayers this morning, we have two special prayers that I'd like to highlight. For Betty Stamberger, the healing of the wound on her foot, one of those big challenges that doctors face, and we know that God can be the healer and he can also use those who minister to us in a medical way also. So we pray for that healing. And then Lewis Johnson's mother, Lula, is being put on hospice and in and out of the hospital and all of that. Lewis is with her, and he and his sister, Lisa, are trying to make some important decisions for his mom. So let's join in praying for them and ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. If you would rise as we pray, and then after the special prayers, join me in the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, we are your people. You promised that you will hear and answer our prayers, and we believe that. We come to you today asking your blessing upon those who are struggling physically and emotionally. We pray for those who are hurting, those experiencing sickness because of COVID. We pray for those who are in need of your healing. We pray for Betty, that you would give wisdom to the doctors as they be your instruments of healing in her life, and that you would restore her health and heal the wound on her foot. We know that you can do that, and we trust you for her future. We pray also for Lewis and his sister Lisa as they deal with important decisions for their mother, Lula. Give them wisdom to know how best to show their love to her and enable them to make decisions that will bring glory to you and be of benefit to her. We are thankful above all that she knows Jesus as her Savior. We pray for life issues in our world, that more and more people would take a stand for life and that the issue of abortion would become less and less a part of our social makeup in this world. We ask you to hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, as we also pray the prayer you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we share the Lord's Supper today, we use the words of Jesus that he gave us. These words give this meal its powerful blessing among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in memory of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in memory of me." The peace and the power of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
One with God, the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Could separate us now. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of was created to live in your presence, to fellowship with you, to walk in your love and be led by your Spirit. I live to worship you. I was created to live in your presence, to fellowship with you, to walk in your love and be led by your Spirit. I live to worship you. My heart's only desire is to worship you. I was created to live in your presence, Lord. My life is changed by your love and your mercy. Your Spirit has made me new. Now I can feel the joy of your presence. Your light in me shines through.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen you to live for him now and keep you in faith for life eternal. Depart in peace and with the joy of the Lord and receive his blessing. May God be above you to bless you, within you to sanctify you, around you to protect you, and before you to guide you. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Let's rise and sing our last song. This song is a very special way to leave God's presence and know that he goes with us. Go, my children, with my blessing.
Sleeping, I am with you. You are my own.
what he says. Go, my children. Bible class, 11 o'clock, right after this service. There is a door offering if you would like to give for the support of our Lutherans for Life group here at St. Mark's. And then the regular offerings are in the dispensers that are on the walls out in the entranceway. So God bless you. Say hi to someone you don't know, and I'll greet you out in the entranceway.